From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Goodness and Severity of God, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The setting for the message is the 12th chapter, but Dr. Cairns' text is Romans 11, verse 22, where the Apostle Paul wrote, Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Some people have difficulty accepting God's command to Joshua to exterminate the heathen Canaanites. One theologian went so far as to call God a dirty bully. Yet the depravity of those people, combined with their refusal to accept offers of peace with Israel, brought destruction upon them. Rather than being innocent victims of an arbitrary God, the Canaanites received the just reward of the vile practices that accompanied their worship of idols. In addition, they were not ignorant of what God had done to other nations who had sought to make war upon Israel. As Dr. Cairns is showing, we must accept God on His terms, not on the basis of what we think He should be or do. Indeed, God's dealings with both Israel and with the heathen Canaanites reveal much about His own character. Essentially, idolatry is man's worshiping an extension of himself. God has not changed, nor has His law been abrogated. Unrepentant sinners will receive the just punishment of that broken law. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Partakers of the Divine Nature. To be a partaker of the divine nature is not, of course, to become God. That cannot be. The essence of deity is not to be participated in by the creature. Between the creature and the creator, there must ever be a gulf fixed in respect of essence. But as the first man, Adam, was made in the image of God, so we, by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, are in a yet diviner sense made in the image of the Most High, and are partakers of the divine nature. We are, by grace, made like God. God is love. We become love. He that loveth is born of God. God is truth. We become true, and we love that which is true. God is good, and He makes us good by His grace, so that we become the pure in heart who shall see God. Moreover, we become partakers of the divine nature in even a higher sense than this. In fact, in as lofty a sense as can be conceived, short of our being absolutely divine. Do we not become members of the body of the divine person of Christ? Yes, the same blood which flows in the head flows in the hand, and the same life which quickens Christ quickens His people. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Nay, as if this were not enough, we are married unto Christ. He hath betrothed us unto Himself in righteousness and in faithfulness, and he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. O marvelous mystery! We look into it, but who shall understand it? One with Jesus, so one with Him, that the branch is not more one with the vine than we are a part of the Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer. While we rejoice in this, let us remember that those who are made partakers of the divine nature will manifest their high and holy relationship in their contact with others, and make it evident by their daily walk and conversation that they have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, for more divine holiness of life!
You are still here, O
is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
People will say, "Oh, I believe in a God of love, but I do not believe in a God of judgment." I believe in a God who has a heaven, but I don't believe in a God who has a hell. I believe in this kind of God. I cannot accept the other thing about God. My friend, when people talk like that, they are simply saying they are idolaters. When you set yourself up to be the standard, God must be this, God must be that, because this is how I conceive Him. You are not worshiping God. It was the infidel German philosopher. I will mangle his name, no doubt, for I am glad I never had to learn German. Feuerbach. And he said that such people are merely worshiping themselves. They are worshiping an extension of their own person. When they create a God in their imagination and say, this is the God before whom I worship, they are no better than the poor heathen who fashion an idol out of wood or stone and fall down before it. God is not what we make Him. God is what He says He is. This is the difference between Bible Christianity and liberalism, modernism, and every shade of apostasy. When you read the history of modern theology and see how modernism and liberalism have fashioned many churches in Europe and in America and unfortunately in other parts of the world, you will find that there is this constant mark upon these apostate movements. That is that the doctrine of God is something that is produced by the evolving consciousness of man. That man comes to ever new and deeper understandings of God. And therefore, God is what man conceives Him to be. And they come to the Bible. They start looking at the various names of God. You'll find when you get to the book of Genesis that the first name of God in the book of Genesis is the Hebrew term Elohim. And so they said, well, that was written by a person who only knew God under that name. Then there came another who described God by the name Jehovah, or as they like to call it, Yahweh. A title, I believe, without the slightest basis in reality. They call Him very often the fire God of Sinai, the invention of Moses. That's how the Jehovah's writer understood God. So they had this evolving idea of who or what God was. And they have missed the point. When God uses one name for Himself, it is because He is emphasizing that part of the revelation of His character. When He uses another name for Himself, it is because He's emphasizing that part of the revelation of His character. These names are not synonymous, nor are they merely the expressions of various people's understanding of God. They are God's revelation of Himself. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, we read that the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. That's what God says about Himself. He says he is a God of unspeakable mercy. He is a God of sovereign covenant grace. But he is also a God of absolute holiness and justice. In other words, he emphasizes not only the kindness of his salvation, but the strictness of his judgment. God's severity and goodness also teach us that his judgment strictly enforces his law. Now watch this very carefully. God's judgment strictly enforces his law. First, God holds all men to his law, whether they will or whether they refuse. He holds them to his law. He has left them without excuse, and he has not abrogated one iota of his law. We live in a day when men want to believe that the moral law of God is outdated. Men want to, well, they not only want to, generally they have. Our entire government system now is based upon what is called situation ethics. We have reached the stage in public policy in what are supposed to be civilized nations that we make the ancient heathens look like cultured people by comparison. When you have the President of the United States refusing to sign a bill that would outlaw the most vicious, so vicious indeed that it's difficult to describe without being sick, the most vicious form of child murder. Insisting that the law of this land gives physicians the right to puncture the skull of an infant that is 90% born and suck the brain matter out and kill it. I tell you, we have reached an awful place. When you've reached the place where the British Parliament no longer debates whether they will allow abortion, but whether they will ban abortions under 26 weeks instead of under 28 weeks. You can see that the nation is so desensitized to moral law that now people from government down, well, maybe I should say from government up, for you really can't get much lower than the low-life politicians we have placed in power in the great nations of the West. But throughout the nation you have these situation ethics. The law of God is scoffed at, even in churches. For the most part, preachers will not preach God's law. They no longer believe in the sanctity of God's law. But I have this to say to you, that God believes in it, and he has not changed it. What he says is idolatry is idolatry. What he says is blasphemy is blasphemy. Of course, that's not counted much of a sin anymore. Every third-rate comedian gets his laughs by making a mock of the name of the Lord. Now notice that none of these comedians would ever use the name, the Muslim name for God, Allah. They would never use the name of Muhammad in a joke because they'd be afraid of being blown to eternity. at the end of some Muslim terrorist gunner bomb. But they will constantly blaspheme the name of the Lord and His Christ. I have noted listening to leading charismatic preachers how they constantly take the name of the Lord in vain. Blasphemy is what God says it is. Adultery is what God says it is. Murder is what God defines it to be. He has not abrogated His law. And as I have pointed out many a time from this pulpit, that includes the law of keeping the one day in seven as the Sabbath of rest and worship unto Him. He has not withdrawn it. And God will hold all men to His law. Not only so, He will exact a full penalty from those who have broken His law. The psalmist says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That, my friend, is a verse that should cause every American to tremble. For if that verse ever described any country on the face of God's earth, it describes this one. Bob Jones Sr. used to point out that in some ways this nation was unique. Nations like the European ones who received the grace of God through the Reformation were nations that struggled out of darkness into light. This nation was, you may say, born in light. This nation was stocked with the finest of the saints of God. And yet today, it has forgotten God. There is only one end to the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. For, says Solomon, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. The Apostle Paul said, God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He raised him from the dead. God will visit lawbreakers with the full rigor of the law.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.